Good afternoon. Welcome to our Bible study. We'll be in the second book of Samuel. Second book of Samuel, chapter 3 and 4. Yeah. I got an announcement. I'm going to be on jury duty on Monday. I got selected for jury duty. Yeah, so hopefully I might be able to get out of it. I don't know. We'll see. Yeah. Once I tell them my family's in law enforcement, they'll probably tell me to beat it. Get out of here. At least the defendant will. Yeah. Oh, did you? Yeah. I'm going to put your name in then. I'll say Gail Phillips. She's expert at it. Yes. So I just want to give you a heads up. So we'll have to play it by ear for next week. I don't know if I'm going to be there for the week or a day or two or whatever, but you can always check the Facebook. Or I'll send out an email put on Facebook or whatever if by Wednesday if I think I'm going to have to be there Thursday. I'll tell them, I got a Bible study to do. Come on. All right. So anyway, let's go ahead. I'll let you guys get there. We'll pick up on chapter 3. I'll let you guys get there, and then we'll open in prayer. I don't know. No. Find out Monday. Yeah. All right, let you guys get there. Chapter 3, okay? All right, let's go ahead. Let's open in prayer. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, as we gather in Jesus' name on this afternoon to go through your word, these two chapters, Lord, we ask you that you would speak directly to us, that you'd open our hearts and our minds to your word. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, chapter 3. Let's go ahead. We'll pick right up in verse 1. It says, "Now there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. But David grew stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul grew weaker and weaker." So let's just stop here for 1 minute. So this verse summarizes the shifting power struggle in Israel. It shows how David's rise is steady and divinely favored, while Saul's dynasty begins to decline. We're going to see that in this chapter, okay? So let's pick up in verse 2. It says, these are the sons of David. It says, "Sons were born to David in Hebron." He's back in Hebron. His firstborn was Amnon by Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess. His second, Chileab by Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite. The third, Absalom, the son of Maacah, the daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur. The fourth, Adonijah, the son of Haggith. The fifth, Shephatiah, the son of Abital. And the sixth, Inthream, by David's wife, Eglah. These were born to David in Hebron. So let's just stop here for 1 minute. So we've got David fathered six sons with six different women, right, during his time in Hebron, right? We know this isn't God's will, right? Because from the beginning, God, right, said the man and a woman shall be one flesh, right? He didn't say a man and women. He said one man. So this happened. We see this throughout the scriptures, like Solomon, right? His son Solomon, what did he have? Like, he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. He was a madman. Real madman. But so he had six sons, as we just read in Hebron, with these six different women. He still has another wife, as you'll remember, right? Michal, right? Saul's daughter that he promised him. And so she is, she's still out there too, which we're going to see in these chapters, that David's going to request her. Okay, so let's pick back up in verse 6. Abner joins forces with David. Now, remember, Abner was the commander of Saul's army. Okay? It says, now it was so, while there was war between the house of Saul and the house of David, that Abner strengthened his hold on the house of Saul. And Saul had a concubine, whose name was Rizpah, and daughter of Ai. So Ishbosheth, boy, that's a tricky name, huh? Ishbosheth said to Abner, why have you gone into my father's concubine? And Abner became very angry at the words of Ishbosheth and said, am I a dog's head that belongs to Judah? Today I show loyalty to the house of Saul, your father, to his brothers and to his friends, and have not delivered you into the hand of David. and you charged me today with a fault concerning this woman, this concubine. And then verse 9 says, may God do the same to Abner, and more also, if I do not do for David as the Lord has sworn to him. So he's admitting that the Lord is with David. It says, verse 10, it says, to transfer the kingdom from the house of Saul and set up the throne of David over Israel and over Judah from Dan to Beersheba. Beersheba. Let's stop here for 1 second. So Abner acknowledges that God has chosen David as king. Even though he was the commander of Saul and he promoted Ishbosheth, Saul's son, to be king, he didn't want to go with David at first. He now, Ishbosheth, has called him out. Why are you with my father's concubine? You know, he's dead. Why are you with her? It's disrespectful. And it makes him very angry, as we just read, right? And now Abner acknowledges that God has chosen David as king, right? Marking a turning point where even Saul's commander supports David's rule. So here comes the shift. Okay, so we'll pick up in verse 11. So verse 11 says he could not answer Abner another word, Ishbosheth, because he feared him. Verse 12 says, then Abner sent messages on his behalf to David, saying, Whose is the land, right? Saying also, make your covenant with me. He wants to join with David. And indeed, my hand shall be with you to bring all Israel to you. Okay, remember, he's got Israel, right? Abner is in charge with Ishbosheth of Israel, and David is the king of Judah. But now he's come to him saying, hey, I'll bring all Israel to you, David. We'll join. Okay, it says what he says right here. Verse 13 says, and David said, good, I will make a covenant with you, an agreement, covenant, agreement. But one thing I require of you, Abner, you shall not see my face unless you first bring Michal, Saul's daughter, when you come to see my face. So verse 14 says, so David sent messengers to Ishbosheth, Saul's son, saying, give me my wife, Michal, whom I betrothed, right, to myself for 100 foreskins of the Philistines. You remember us reading about that, right? Verse 15, and Ishbosheth sent and took her from her husband, because remember, Saul took her and gave her to another man. So Ishbosheth went back and took her back from this guy, from Patel, the son of Laish. Then her husband went along with her to Beerim, weeping behind her. Real sap. Nah, just kidding. Weeping behind her. Oh, don't leave. Right? So Abner said to him, go return. And he returned. Verse 17 says, now Abner had communicated with the elders of Israel, saying, in time past you were seeking for David to be your king over you. Now then, do it. For the Lord has spoken of David, saying, by the hand of my servant David, I will save my people Israel from the hand of the Philistines and the hand of all their enemies. So just hang on 1 sec right here, right? This confirms that David's kingship is widely recognized as God's will. Okay? So the people now are saying, whoa, God is with David. That's important, right? Not just a personal ambition that David took. The people are now realizing God's with David. We got to go with David, right? This is God's will. Very important to know that. Verse 19 says, and Abner also spoke in the hearing of Benjamin, the tribe. Then Abner also went to speak in the hearing of David and Hebron, all that seemed good to Israel in the whole house of Benjamin. So everybody's on board. So Abner and 20 men with him came to David at Hebron. And David made a feast for Abner, right? This is Saul's commander, okay? And the men who were with him. Then Abner said to David, I will arise and go and gather all Israel to my lord, the king, to him, that they may make a covenant with you and that you may reign over all that your heart desires. So David sent Abner away, and he went in peace. And verse 22 says, at that moment, the servants of David and Joab, this is David's commander, Joab, came from a raid and brought much spoil with them. But Abner was not with David in Hebron at that time, for he had sent him away, and he had gone in peace. When Joab and all the troops that were with him had come, they told Joab, saying, Abner the son of Ner came to the king, and he sent him away, and he has gone in peace. Verse 24 says, then Joab came to the king and said, what have you done? Right? He's saying, why are you talking to Abner? That's Saul and Ishbosheth's commander. We just got in a big fight with them not too long ago. He killed my brother. Remember that? So he said, then Joab came to the king and said, what have you done? Look, Abner came to you. Why is it that you sent him away, David? And he has already gone. Verse 25 says, surely you realize that Abner, the son of Ner, came to deceive you, to know you're going out and you're coming in, and to know all that you are doing. Let's stop here for a minute. So Abner joins David, right? So the prolonged conflict between David and Judah and Ishbosheth and Israel, right? Abner wants Ishbosheth's supporter, because he promoted him himself to be the next king. When Saul died, he raised up his son, right? So treat, right? He positions himself and decides to make an ally with David. Now, I don't know if this triggered him, to do this because of Ishbosheth, the new king of Israel that he raised up, called him out about being with his father's concubine. I don't know if that triggered him, but it says he was very angry, and he says, I'm going to go join the ranks with David if he'll accept us. All right, so Abner's confrontation with Ishbosheth led him, most likely, to David, okay? So David agrees, right, to peace with the condition of reclaiming. He says, I'll do this. He says, but the next time we're going to talk, you're going to bring my wife, Michal, my first wife, that was promised to me by Saul, right? And Abner pursued Ishbosheth and secures Michal, return to David, going to. And Joab's angered by David's willingness to ally with Abner, right? So let's read on and see what happens here in verse 26. It says, when Joab had gone from David's presence, he sent messengers after Abner, who brought him back from the well of Sarah. But David did not know it. Now when Abner had returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him privately, and there stabbed him in the stomach, so that he died for the blood of Esiel, his brother. So let's just stop here a minute. You remember that, right? We read that last week. Remember Abner, the commander, right? He fled off, and Joab's brother, who we read very fast, ran after him, and he told him three times, Esiel, turn to your right or your left. Don't keep following me. Otherwise, I'm going to have to kill you. And he continued to chase him. And Abner killed him, right? Stuck a sword through him, went right through him. We read that last week. So now, Joab wants revenge on Abner for killing his brother. This is why he does it, right? He says, let's go get these guys. And now, so he stabbed him in the stomach, and he died, right, as revenge, right? It's a critical act of revenge by Joab, right, creating tension and threatening David's effort to unify the kingdom. So here's David. He's trying to unify these two, right? Israel, we're going to get together now with Judah. All the tribes are going to get together, and things to look like they're going good. But here comes Joab, right? He wants to take revenge on Abner because he killed his brother, and he does so. And he was the commander of Israel. So kind of making a real problem here for David. So verse 28, let's look at verse 28. It says, afterward, when David heard it, he said, my kingdom and I are guiltless before the Lord forever of the blood of Abner, the son of Ner. Let it rest on the head of Joab. So he's saying, this blood isn't on my hands, it's on him. And on all, see that, all his father's house. And let there never fail to be in the house of Joab one who has discharge or is a leper, who leans on the staff or falls by the sword or lacks bread. So Joab and Abishai, his brother, Joab and his brother Abishai, right, killed Abner because, right here, right, he killed their brother Asahel, right, at Gibeon in the battle. So let's just stop here for 1 minute. Okay? So we got a lot of different names going on here, right? We got Joab and Abner and Asahel and all. It's hard to sometimes follow that, but Abner, he was one of Saul's guys. Joab was David's commander, okay? These guys are now battling here because he killed his brother, so now he took revenge and killed him. So it's kind of a mess, and here's David trying to get everybody together, unify, and we got this going on, right? It's like fighting in the church, right? Not a good thing, right? Here we are all together. We're trying to unify. We're brothers and sisters in Christ, but we got some things going on here, right? Never good, right? What did Jesus say? A house divided can't stand, right? That's in your personal home, and that's in the church, right? A house that's divided will not stand. Right? You see a lot of churches fall apart to this. People bickering, oh, I wanted blue paint. How come we painted it white? Shingle should have been green, not brown. I mean, come on. Seriously? What we're going to argue about? I've seen a big fight in our last church over paint. Exactly what I'm talking about. They painted the fellowship all a different color. And the other deacons didn't like it, and they're fighting. I'm like, well, do you see what you guys look like in the sight of the Lord? I mean, seriously? But this happens, and this is what's going on here in the story. Trying to get unity together, and there's fighting among people, same family, right? So Abner, right? This guy Joab, he lures Abner back to Hebron, takes revenge on him, kills him. And David reacts with mourning, right? And did you notice that what David did? He curses Joab's house. Okay, he's got the Lord with him, and he curses his own commander's house for doing this. Now this is David's commander. But he did wrong, and by doing this, and so David curses him and his whole family. Now, whether the curse comes or not, I don't know, but all we're doing, though, is the Lord is with David. So let's pick up in verse 31, and we'll read right to the end here. This is David's mourning for Abner. So verse 31 says, then David said to Joab and to all the people who were with him, tear your clothes and gird yourself with sackcloth and mourn for Abner. You notice this right here? David is telling Joab, who is his commander, to tear your clothes off and mourn for this man. You killed him, mourn for him, and your whole family mourn. David commanded him. Sure, he wasn't happy about that. And King David followed the coffin. Verse 32 says, then they buried Abner in Hebron. And the king lifted up his voice, and he wept at the grave of Abner. And all the people wept, right? So David's public grief and integrity, right? He distanced himself from Abner's murder. He wants the people to know, I had no part in this. He may be my commander. He stepped out of bounds and killed him. I had no part of this. I wasn't there. That type of thing. Because he's trying to unite everybody. Right? And verse 33 says, and the king sang a lament over Abner and said, should Abner die as a fool dies? Your hands were not bound, nor your feet put into fetters. As a man falls from a wicked man, so you fell. Then all the people wept for him again. And when all the people came to persuade David to eat food while it was still day, David took an oath, saying, God do so to me, and more also, if I taste bread or anything until the sun goes down. So he's fasting. He's mourning and fasting. Verse 36 says, now all the people took note of it. That's a good thing. They see David sincere, and it pleased them, since whatever the king did pleased all the people. For all the people and all of Israel understood that day that it had not been the king's intent to kill Abner, the son of Ner. Then the king said to his servants, do you not know that a prince and a great man is falling this day in Israel? And I am weak today, though anointed king, and these men, the sons of Zariah, are too harsh for me. The Lord shall repay the evildoer according to his wickedness. Oh, okay. That is very biblical. That very end there. Listen, the Lord shall repay the evildoer according to his wickedness. Okay? What's the Bible say about that? You will reap what you sow. We see this a lot, right? God's saying, that's going to come back on you, right? You reap what you sow. Jesus talks a lot about that. And Paul writes a lot about that as well, right? Of course, you know, there's always repentance and stuff, but always going to come back, right? What you reap, you'll sow. This is what he's saying, right? The Lord shall repay you according to your wickedness. So David publicly mourns for Abner, emphasizing he did not desire his death. And it said it pleased all the people. All the people saw King David. They knew his commander killed Abner. And they saw how he mourned and how he was so upset that it pleased them, because they knew it confirmed, hey, he had nothing to do with this. So they're going to join forces. Okay? And it says this mourning earned David's favor among the people. And this was important too for him as the king to as he's trying to unify the two to come back together, that he had no part of this, right? And the people did. And they were pleased when they saw him mourn over this, right? This also reveals David's almost political limitations, right? Even as king, he struggles to control power figures like Joab, okay? Even though he's king, right? Even though you're king or you're in charge over people, doesn't mean they're going to do something stupid, right? Doesn't mean they're not going to. Sometimes you get people to go off the rail and do something they shouldn't do. This is what he did, right? So let's go ahead. Let's pick up in chapter 4. We'll go through chapter 4. This is a short chapter. There's only 12 verses. But there's a lot of information here. It says in verse 1, chapter 4, this is Ishbosheth is murdered. Well, we've got another murder now in this chapter. Verse 1 says, when Saul's son heard that Abner had died in Hebron, he lost heart. He must be like, oh, right? And all Israel was troubled, right? So just stop for 1 minute here. This shows how Abner's death destabilizes Saul's remaining kingdom. Right, that they're just declining. Right, Ishbosheth loses confidence. Remember, he's the king in Israel because Abner raised him up. But he's losing confidence, and the nation senses a shift in power towards David. So he's like, "Oh, we're done." You know, he was only king. He was king for 2 years. Ishbosheth. And verse 2 says, "Now Saul's son." Had two men who were captains of the troops. The name of one was Benaiah, And the name of the other is Rechab. And the sons of Rimmon, right? The father, Berothite. Of the children of Benjamin. For Beroth also was part of Benjamin because of the Berothites fled to Gideon and have been sojourners there until this day, it says in parentheses, right? And then verse 4 says, Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son who was lame in his feet, crippled in his feet. He was 5 years old when the news about Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel, and his nurse took him and fled. And it happened as the nurse made haste to flee with him that he fell and became lame. So he fell and his feet became crippled. Right? His name was Mephibosheth. See these tongue twisters, right? We got Ishbosheth, we got Mephibosheth. Why can't we just have like a Bob and a Frank? So easy. Right? This Mephibosheth, though, is an important figure. Later, as we read, right, this highlights also the fragile of Saul's family, how fragile it had become, and as it sets up future acts, David's going to set up future acts of kindness for him, Mephibosheth. Remember, we'll stop here for 1 second. Remember when Jonathan and David were best of friends, but they had to split up, and Jonathan says, I know you're going to be king one day. If we all die off, please show favor to my family. Don't hold this against me for my father, how he's been awful to you. But I, his son, have been very kind to you, love you, you love me. If we all die, please show favor to my kids, right? And David remembers this. He finds he has one son living, Mephibosheth. He's the kid lame in his feet. He's probably only 12 years old now. He fell when he was 5 years old. He's crippled in his feet. King David was king for 7 years, so he may be around 12 years old right now. But David's going to show him kindness because of his love for Jonathan. He's going to know, hey, this is Jonathan, my best friend. This is his boy. Even though he belongs to Saul, they're taking them all in, and he's going to take them in. We're going to see. He's going to have him eat with them. Yeah, he's going to come in and going to treat him with royalty. Yeah, you've got to remember, because he made a covenant. Jonathan said, make a covenant with me. You'll take care of my kids, my family. And David said, I will do that. And he made good on it. But anyway, verse 5 says, the sons of Rimmon, the Berothite, Rechab and Benaiah, set out and came at about the heat of the day to the house of Ishbosheth, who was lying on his bed at noon, taking an afternoon nap. And there, they came there all the way into the house as though to get wheat, and they stabbed him in the stomach. There goes Ishbosheth. Yeah, it's probably going to be the last Bible study Aspen's going to come to. All these killings. I ain't going there with you again, Graham. Right? Sat in the summit. Then Rechab and Benaiah, his brother, escaped. But when they came into the house, he was lying on his bed in his bedroom, and they struck him and killed him. Look at this. Beheaded him and took his head. Man. And were all night escaping through the plain. Oh, man. So this describes assassination of Ishbosheth right here, right? Effectively ending Saul's dynasty. Shows the chaos during this transition of power also. So verse 8 says, and they brought the head of Ishbosheth to David at Hebron. So here I was walking around with a guy's head. Yeah, this is worse than any horror movie on TV. Jeez, I don't even like horror movies. This is worse. The son of Saul, right? It says, and then so it says that he brought it to David at Hebron and said to the king, he said, here is the head of Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, your enemy, who brought your life, who sought your life, and the Lord has avenged my lord the king this day of Saul and his descendants. So let's just stop here for a minute. This sounds like the Amalekite who came and said, hey, by the way, I killed Saul. I pushed him down. I got some of his jewels here with me, looking for a reward. These fellas are looking for a reward too. Hey, we took the head off of Ishbosheth. Here it is. Right? These assassins expected a reward, assuming David would be pleased, but they misunderstood David's character and respect for God's anointed. So this is going to backfire on these fellows too. Look at verse 9. But David answered Rechab and Benaiah, his brother, the sons of Rimmon and the Berethite, and said to them, as the Lord lives, your men are going to die. It doesn't say that, but should. Who has redeemed my life from all adversity. When someone told me, saying, look, Saul is dead, thinking to have brought good news, I arrested him and I had him executed at Ziklag. That's the Amalekite. The one who thought I would give him a reward for his news. Right? Verse 11. How much more when wicked men have killed a righteous person in his own house, in his own bed? Therefore, one of my favorite words, shall I not now require his blood at your hand and remove you from the earth? Uh-oh. This is backfiring on these two fellas. So David commanded his young men, and they executed them, cut off their hands and feet, and hanged them from the pool in Hebron. These ain't playground fights. These ain't let's go out in the playground and have it out, and we'll get back to school. We're talking cutting people's heads off and fingers and hands. But they took the head of Ishbosheth and buried it in a tomb near Abner in Hebron. Let's talk about this. Hope you guys don't have any nightmares tonight. Especially you, Gail. So Ishbosheth heard about the death of Abner, and his courage failed, as we read. He's like, we're going down, right? Ishbosheth had these two men. They were captains, right? Benaiah and Rechab. And they plotted to kill Ishbosheth, which they did, as we just read, right? But this text also introduces Mephibosheth, right? Who will be discussed in greater detail in future chapters. But Mephibosheth was the son of Jonathan, as I was saying. He was lame. It says he was lame because he was crippled in his feet due to the fall that he suffered when he was a young child. Out of the maids, the nurses, she took him and ran, but fell. But Benaiah and Rechab went into Ishbosheth's house while he was resting, and they killed him. They stabbed him in the stomach, and they cut his head off and brought him to David. Terrible. Crazy. And again, they were looking for a reward. And it backfired on him, right? David was angry, very angry. So he had them executed. And then it's just kind of crazy, right? The bodies were hung beside the pool at Hebron, right? And the head of Ishbosheth they buried in the tomb. So they took him, gave him a burial, and took these two fellas and hung them by the pool. But before we close here, this shows David's commitment to justice and honor. This is it right here. This is exactly shows David's commitment to justice and honor, right? Punishing the wrongdoing while still giving Ishbosheth a proper burial, right? So he's really taking the high road. And that ends chapter 3 and 4. Okay, let's go ahead. We'll close in prayer and we can have a discussion and play trivia. Okay, let's close in prayer. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for speaking to us as we read this Old Testament history here, Lord. And boy, we really see a lot of ups and downs as they were going through. But again, this just reminds us of you, Lord Jesus, telling us a house that is divided cannot stand. How important that is to know and understand. So, Father, we thank you for speaking to us in Jesus' name. Amen.